podcast from the First Church of Christ in East Palestine, Ohio. We're glad you've decided to join us, and we hope you enjoy this week's message.
Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that we have this beautiful morning here to gather in your house and to raise our voices and sing praises to your name and to celebrate. And we're thankful that we have this opportunity to gather around your table at your invitation so that we can remember the sacrifice of Jesus. And we're thankful that Mark's here to bring us the word, to preach to us, to give us some small taste of what you've given to us. We ask that you take what he gives us and amplify it and help us to carry it with us throughout our week and live it. We ask that you be with those who can't be here, whether it's illness, travel, work, whatever the scenario might be. We ask that you bring them home to us next week. And we ask that you be with the service overall. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. From the first time we hear our child say no, to the first time we see the crossed arms and narrowed eyes, we are reminded that our children are born with free will. And of course, we too are born with that same free will. That free will allows us to decide how we will live our lives, what careers we might pursue, how we will wear our hair, the color of the car we'll purchase, or maybe even the color of your hair. Each of us have made choices in just getting here today this morning, what clothes to wear, what spot to park in, maybe even what pew to sit in. Maybe you just walked in and just landed in that pew without even thinking about it. But each of us at one point, or at many points, have made that decision. That decision to go our own way, away from God, to cross our arms, narrow our eyes, and say no to how God has instructed us to live. From before the dawn of time, our Creator knew that this free will would result in sin. He knew that it would result in separation. As the creator of the universe, he could have prevented sin by just removing that free will. But our God does not demand that we love him. He wants us to love him. He wants us to make that choice to love him. Romans 5:8 reminds us, but God demonstrated his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Around this table, we can remember the plan that God built for us. Around this table, we can remember that Christ died for us, taking the punishment for our narrowed eyes, our crossed arms, and our nose. Around this table, we can be thankful for the God that loved us first and always. Around this table, we can remember that it was Christ's free will that allowed him to be crucified, and that it was our free will to accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior when we opened our arms and say yes to the love that was shown to us. Let's go to God in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that you had that plan for salvation. And we're thankful for Jesus going to the cross. We're thankful that he took the beatings and the sufferings. And we're thankful that we have the bread to remember this by. We're thankful that his blood was shed. And we're thankful that we have the juice to remember it by. Heavenly Father, we ask that you be with us this morning as we break bread together. And help us to remember the sacrifice that was made because of the love you have for us. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning, folks. It's good to see you. I mean, really see you. I can look out and see most of your faces. That's a nice change, isn't it? We're doing what we can to kind of keep up with the CDC and the regulations. We want to make sure you're safe, and we want people to feel safe when they're coming here. So you're welcome to take your mask off when we are meeting and you're seated, or you're welcome to keep it on. When you travel around the building, we would like you to please have your mask on as you walk around the building. Please do look over the bulletin. Number of things happening. I do want to mention Chad and Jessica will be on vacation this week. but there will be a special movie night for the kids this Wednesday, same time from 6 to 8, so please notice that. Please look over the other announcements, see what's coming up, what's happening. As you look over your prayer list, Catherine Petoniak has taken a turn for the better. She's doing a lot better right now, so please continue. She has pneumonia, but they got the antibiotics in her, and she's doing well. So please continue to keep her in your prayers, if you would. We do have Sunday school today. Please look at your bulletin and the insert and tell you what class you can go to. We hope that you'll be attending Sunday school. It's been a long time since over a year since we've had Sunday school classes. We've been doing Wednesday night, but this Wednesday, we're starting the book of 1 Corinthians. We'll be meeting in the gym. It's a wonderful book, an exciting book to study. So I hope if you haven't been coming that you'll plan to join us on Wednesday night. If you bring the kids to youth group, you can stay from 7 to 8 for that, and we hope you'll join us for that special study. Now let's have a moment of silent prayer together. Amen. We're excited to have a guest speaker here this morning, Mark Laughlin from Elkhorn Valley Christian Service Camp. He's going to be sharing the message this morning, telling us a little bit about camp here in the service. During Sunday school, he's going to be in my class there in the gym. We'll find out a little bit about how COVID has affected the camp and what the programs and camp weeks are this week. So this year, we hope that you'll plan to join us during Bible school in the gym to learn a little more about camp then. Mark?
Good morning, everyone. It is great to be here and just be able to share with you a little bit as I look on that screen up there and see those pictures. I'm probably more excited than anybody for this summer. We're just excited to be able to fulfill our mission this year and have lots and lots of kids there this summer. More importantly, just to have God all over the place in that valley. And that's what we're looking forward to. As I'm going to share more during that Sunday school hour, and I hope many of you can stay and get an update on what's happening at your camp. But we're just really looking forward to this summer. We've got lots of programs slated to happen for kids. Even got some for some adults as well that are going to be coming up. And so more than ever, the camp has been in existence for quite a while. And last year, when we were dealing with this COVID, when we went outside and we'd see the swing sets moving, the only thing that was moving them was the wind. It wasn't kids on them. There wasn't laughter. There wasn't people everywhere. There wasn't all the things that there typically is for the very first time in many, many years since that ground has been set apart as a place where people can come and learn about Jesus Christ. And so we're planning on this summer being a great summer, and we hopefully that you can support us, get your children, your grandchildren, the neighbor kids that you want to get off your porch for a week. We'd love to have them at our place and be able to share with them. So, and it is good to be able to be here this morning, too, to share a little bit from God's Word. And one of the things that I want to talk about today is something that I'm really passionate about, and that's missions. Being able to reach unreached people groups and to be able to reach out and share the gospel of Jesus Christ with people that maybe have yet to hear that message, something that we hold near and dear to us, something that maybe we heard long, long ago when we were children, that there's people that still have yet to hear that. And so this morning, I hope it can be a time of encouragement to you as a church, because I know you're already doing that. You guys are already involved in mission work and doing great things. In fact, you may or you may not be aware that as a congregation, you guys support 14 different mission works. And I think that's a great testament of this church and your mission-mindedness and you wanting to be able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with people that, while you're here on this earth, you may never get to meet. But there's people that are going to go meet them on your behalf, and they're able to do that because of you. And so I pray that this morning that it can be a time of encouragement. And when we think about mission work, the name that comes to my mind is the Apostle Paul. You know, and I think about the work that he did when he took that journey from Antioch to Rome and the time period in between. He traveled about 10,000 miles. You know, and today, 10,000 miles is not a lot. I mean, I can jump in a car and I can be to the Pittsburgh airport pretty quickly, and I can get on a plane and I can travel 10,000 miles really quickly. But when we think about the Apostle Paul, when he did it, he was either walking, he was on the back of a donkey, he was in a cart, he was in a boat that was propelled by oars or some kind of a sail fashioned up there or something. So when he took 10,000 miles to be able to go out and share the message of Jesus Christ with people, wow, what a journey that he went on. And I think this morning, the reason that he did that, he had some specific things in mind. And I think that if we were honest with ourselves, probably the same things that he had in mind are the same things that Bob has in mind when he gets up here to preach a message, or it's probably the same things that you have in mind when you wake up and you get yourself out of bed and you get your bones all stretched out and ready to go and think you're ready for another day. I always try to do a couple sit-ups a day, one in the morning to get out of bed, and then I'll recline again to go to bed at night. So I don't know if that's the plan you're on, but it's working for me. But we want to be able to preach the message of Jesus Christ to people that have not yet heard, plain and simple. I think that's why we exist here as a church. You know, we're the only organization that exists for people that are not a part of our organization. You do realize that, right? That's why we exist. We exist because of people that don't yet know about Jesus Christ. And so that was one of the things that Paul wanted to do. The second thing was that he wanted to be able to train leaders, people that could go out and share the gospel in places that maybe even Paul wasn't able to reach, because he wanted to be able to train them to be able to do that. And the third, and I think is probably the culture of what we want as a church, is we want to be able to make disciples who make disciples who make disciples. And so I think that's what Paul was thinking about as he started off on this missionary work that he was doing. And my guess is that of these 14 missions, both local and afar, that you support, that that's probably what they're thinking too. They want to be able to share Jesus with people. They want to be able to train other people up that can come behind them. And they want to create a culture that makes disciples who makes disciples who makes disciples. And I think oftentimes we think about that, and I can remember as a kid, and a missionary would come to church and he would share and put some pictures up on the screen, and it always, to me, it came in mind that it was something that happened in a far-off land. You know, it was in Haiti, it was in Africa, it was in India. And mission work needs to happen there, but I believe that mission work is taking place right here in this community. I believe that mission work is probably taking place right there in your own homes and in the places that you're meeting. And so I commend each of you this morning for the work that you're doing and continuing to do to be able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with people who have yet to know. And so this morning, I thought what we would do is look for just a few moments at some of the reasons that we do this. Why as a church are we involved in this? Why do we get our resources and put them in other places so that that can happen? And first of all, I wanted to look at the early church as our example. In Acts 1, verse 8, it talks about how they received the filling of the Holy Spirit and that Jesus was there. And it goes on in John chapter 14, and it talks about a direct command that Jesus gives us, that we're to spread out into the areas around the world and carry the gospel of Jesus Christ to people who have not yet heard. And so I think it's important as we look at the context of this, is this is something that Jesus wanted us to be a part of. You know, I think we're often, we have the message and we receive it and we come forward and we give ourselves to Jesus Christ and we're baptized, and then that's the beginning where we just get excited and we well up and we want to share it with people that don't yet know. And I think that's what is happening in the mission work that you're supporting and how great that is. The other thing is that I think it's important we understand that missionaries are dependent on all of you. And because of what you're doing and the great things that you're doing to help them, they're able to go do the things that they're doing. One of the emphasis we put each year is on missions giving during weeks of camp. We always have one mission for the entire summer where the kids get the opportunity to put money into offering plates to help people that they'll probably never get to see this side of heaven. We've purchased food and packed meals for children in Haiti. We have purchased study material and Bibles for inmates in prison. We've built playgrounds for children at a Christian school in Africa. This year, we're going to be supporting some children in India to be able to purchase a van so that they're able to get to and from church and Sunday school. And if you're watching the news at all and knowing that right now in India, over 3,000 people are dying a day because of this COVID, and yet a dear friend of ours that's doing work there is saying that the gospel is still alive and it's doing great things and they're sharing with people in great ways. And so it's important for us to understand as a church how we can be involved in this work so that it can continue to do what God wants us to do. Without the prayers of our churches, missionary teams couldn't do what they're doing.
they couldn't continue to do. Without the financial support of all of you, they couldn't be doing the things that they're doing. They wouldn't have the resources that they need to be able to go out and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Good friends of ours work with Pioneer Bible Translators, and they're in their home on furlough right now because of COVID, but they're working in Tanzania, Africa, transferring the scriptures into the native tongue of that people group in Tanzania, Africa. And for the very first time, they're opening up God's word, and they're getting to understand the plan that he has for their lives. It's hard for us to understand that. You know, I have multiple ones of these around my house, and quite honestly, the one that I use the most is this one. But I have lots of these laying around, and some of them probably are collecting dust because I use this one a lot. But for us to hard to understand that they've never even had the opportunity to open up God's word, that as they open it up, it just looked like a blank sheet of paper because they can't understand it because it wasn't in their native tongue. And they're going and they're doing stuff on our behalf in Tanzania, Africa. And the missionaries that you support are going on your behalf and doing work in other countries so that the gospel can be shared and that Jesus can be glorified. Missionaries work on behalf of their supporters, and as we partner with missions, we're on the same team, we have the same goals, and how great that is. Paul talks about how God used the people in Philippi to be the agents of that provision. You know, and I can just bring it home a little closer, and I think about the work that we're doing at Elkhorn Valley Christian Service Camp. We could not be doing what we're doing today if it were not for you. You know, like us, like Paul, we need to be saying that we put the, Paul said that he would put the fruit of his own ministry in the church at Philippi. The same would be true for us at Elkhorn. We put the chart of accounts. We realize that we're doing what we're doing because of you, and we thank you for that. We appreciate how we can partner together and work side by side, same goals, same ideas, same gospel message, so that we can be able to share that with people that have yet known Jesus Christ. A few years ago, we had a boy that came to camp, came from a church, unchurched home. And we were memorizing scripture, one of the things that we do during weeks of camp. And he was really getting into it. Monday, he memorized all the verses for that day. And he reached over into Tuesday and was already memorizing those. And he was really, really excited. And he was just using a Bible that was laying around in the chapel because he didn't come to camp with one. He'd never seen a Bible before in his life. It wasn't something that was in his home. But he did that. And then the second day, he comes out of the canteen, which is the store where we sell pop, chips, candy, all this sugar and all that good stuff. You know what I'm talking about. And he comes out and he goes, I got it, I got it, I got it. And I thought he got a Mountain Dew and a candy bar and he was going to be running. You know, that's what I thought. And then he reached out from behind his back and he went like that and he held up a Bible because he had spent his entire $10 canteen card that he had to buy candy for the entire week on a Bible because he thought that was important. And so the rest of the week he used that Bible to memorize his scriptures. And I can tell you this, I reached into my wallet and pulled $10 out because I realized he still needed sugar and Mountain Dew and candy for the week. And so I bought him another canteen card because his was all spent on that Bible. But you know, it's just exciting to see people to be able to see it for the very first time. And I think we become numb to that, don't we? Because it's something that's part of who we are, and it just becomes complacent. And so when we do this, that there's missionaries, and they're working on our behalf, and great things are happening. The next thing that I think is important is people need to hear the gospel message, plain and simple. I think back to when we celebrated 50 years of camping at Elkhorn Valley, and I looked out, and there was a sea of people for that 50th anniversary, over 1,000 people there that day. And I thought, wow, there's a lot of people here. And then I thought, wow, there has been more people giving their life to Jesus Christ than have been baptized here in the last 50 years than are here today. And that kind of put things into perspective for me as I think about that. 2 Peter 3, verse 9 says, his plan is those that already know share the gospel message with those that do not, so that they're able to do that. And through a church mission program, we're privileged to pool our resources and to help fund the spread of the gospel throughout the world. And how cool is that, that we're able to be a part of something so great, a plan that God orchestrated back in Matthew chapter 28, where we're to go out and share the gospel message with people that have not yet heard, so that we can do what Paul wanted to do, where we create that culture where we make disciples who make disciples who make disciples, and what that looks like. The next thing that I think is important, and I think it's something that, even though I'm very passionate about missions and sharing with unreached people groups, is praying for them. I think sometimes we often get caught up in our own world and our own routines and our own prayer life that we forget about these 14 missionaries that are doing work on your behalf. Matthew chapter 9, verse 38 says, Jesus said that we should pray for the laborers to carry the gospel to the harvest field, for the work to be done is tremendously large. You know, I'm privileged. I serve on the missions team at our church, the church that I attend. But one particular Sunday a few years ago, I was sitting on that stage at my home church, but I wasn't there as a member that day. I was there as a mission because they support Elkhorn Valley Christian Service Camp. And so I was placed on, there were some stools on the stage, and I was sitting on the middle stool, and to my left was someone that I quite honestly can't even remember. But to my right was someone that I've thought about many, many times since. His name was Rana, and he's involved in mission work in India. And so they were interviewing the three of us during this worship time, and I shared about the camp, and the person to my left shared about whatever they were sharing about, and I should have known. And the person to my right was Rana, and he started to share about the work that he's doing in India. And he started to share about how in India, a lot of times it's a very poor country, and many of them are farmers, and unfortunately all of the land is not owned by them, but it's owned by the government. And he said, what will happen is there's a bad year of crops. You know, they have a lot of rain, or they have no rain, and so they have a bad year of crops. And the farmers realize that because of that crop is so bad, that they're not going to be able to pay their mortgage, the lease on the ground that particular year. But it goes much deeper than that, because the government, in their crookedness, charges this exuberant interest rate to where this farmer knows that he's in a situation now because he will not pay it back in his lifetime because of this one failed crop. His children will not pay it back in their lifetime. His children's children will not pay it back in their lifetime. And so what he does, because he just sees no end to this, and he wants to just make it stop, and he doesn't want to saddle his family with this, so he tells his wife, don't worry, I'll take care of dinner tonight. And what he does is he puts rat poisoning into food, and he stirs it up, and he feeds the family, and they have one last meal together, and everyone dies a very, very painful death. And Rana, as he's sitting next to me on the stage, he's sharing this, and he said, but we want to go share with them and let them know that there's hope. That hope comes through Jesus Christ, and that there is another way out, that God will provide when you think that there can't be provision, that he can provide things that you could never even imagine. And so they're doing this work, amongst other things that they're doing in India, but it impacted me, and I thought, I don't pray for this man enough. You know, I've lifted him up in prayer before. I consider him a brother in Christ. I consider him somebody that is sharing the gospel message. And I thought, but I'm not praying for him enough. And so I just encourage you to think about the missions that you support, and being able to sit down and maybe just get a list of them and say, hey, how can I be praying for them? Maybe there's some specific things that I need to be praying for. Because I realize as a member of a missions team that supports someone that I wasn't praying for him enough. Because he's doing such great work as he's going out and sharing the gospel with people that need to know that. The next thing is, and I think it's so important, is we're commanded to go. I mean, Matthew 28, 19 and 20 says, go into all the world, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them. And as we get that passage of scripture, for years I think that the emphasis was on that word go. Let's go, let's go, let's go. But I think if we was to really analyze that, and some of the Greek scholars say that it should be translated more like this, that as you are going, teach. You know, in the culture that we live in today, the going word, we've got that down, don't we? In fact, there's probably people that grew up in this congregation that are no longer here because they grew up and they went somewhere else and got a job, you know, and so they're living in some other part of the country. And so, you know, it wasn't all that long ago, that many generations ago, that people were born, they lived, they worked, they died in the same town. And maybe that's true for some of us here this morning. And if so, that's great. That's a great life. And I think it's commendable to think about that. But in our culture today, I think that we have that mentality that it's okay to go. And there's a lot of people that do that. They get up and they go. And so we've got this going concept down. And so now we need to look at this and put the emphasis on the word teach, because if we're going to go, then as we go, let us teach. And just a little bit of a cultural change so that we can be able to go out and share the message of Jesus Christ with people that have not done that yet. The last thing that I want to talk about this morning is something that I think is important too, is like, who will go and who will send? Because they're different, aren't they? You know, I kind of look at this, you know, if you think back to, and some of us, maybe it's a longer think back, but think back to grade school. It's that time right after lunch, recess, the most important class of the day. And you're out there on the playground, and you're getting ready to play a game of kickball. And so you got to choose up sides, right? And there's always that one guy that's going, pick me, pick me, pick me, pick me. And then there's always the timid people that are sitting over there. Not me, not me, not me. And I think about that when I think about this. And so, I'm, you know, maybe there's some of us that are sitting out there this morning and saying, you know, there's people, the unreached people groups in Haiti where there's no water and there's snakes and there's bugs and there's all this stuff. Don't pick me. God, don't pick me. I don't want to go do that. And you know what? I think God's okay with that. Because you're making it possible so that somebody else can go do that work somewhere. Because I think there's two important pieces of this puzzle. There's people that go, and there's people that send them. And so if you're the person that sends them, that is great. If you're the person that's saying, pick me, pick me, pick me, I want to go, that's great too. That's great too. Romans 10 talks about this. In verse 15, it says, how can anyone preach unless they're sent? And I think it's important that we understand our role as a church, that as we send people out, what an important thing we're doing, and that emphasis. Because there's going to be some people that are going to go, and there's going to be some of us that will send them. And how important that is. As we come to a time as we end up this service, I want to share a story with you. It's a story about a man by the name of Rob. Rob grew up in an unchristian home. He had not really went to church much. He said he remembers the name Jesus Christ because his uncles used it a lot on Sunday afternoons when they were watching football. He said, that's what I remember. And he said that he had a friend, his name was Brad. And Brad and him hung out, they were inseparable. He said in the summer, we would go camp behind Brad's house. And he said, we would do that all summer long. We would go out and we'd camp out in the woods behind his house. And there was one particular year, and school was just about to get out, he said, and Brad come to him, and he said, hey, you want to go camping? And he said, yeah, I want to go camping. It's been a long time since we went camping. He said, well, here, fill out these paperwork, and we'll go camping. And he said, what are you talking about, filling out paperwork? We go in the woods behind your house. What in the world do we need to fill out paperwork to do that for? He goes, well, we're going to go to a different place. He goes, what are you talking about? He said, we're going to go to church camp. And he goes, we're going to church camp. He said, trust me, there's girls there. He's like, okay, I'm in. So he took his paperwork and his mom signed it. He said, don't worry, it doesn't cost anything. And Rob Schoaf went to Elkhorn Valley Christian Service Camp with his friend Brad. Monday night, they had Vespers. That's an evening service. Most of you know what Vespers mean, maybe, but younger people don't know what Vespers means. But they had that evening service, and he was talking about Jesus Christ, and he said, I remember that name. My uncles talked about that on Sunday afternoon. He said, no, that's not the Jesus Christ that we know. And he went on, and he started sharing about how important Jesus Christ was. And so they would go back to the tent at night, and they would ask questions, and Brad would answer questions. And he knew that Rob was going to come with tough questions, so he would make notes when the guy was speaking so that he could answer those questions. To make a long story short, at the end of that week, Rob decided to give his life to Jesus Christ. So they had to call his mom, as we do at camp, and he said, make sure you tell her that I didn't do anything wrong, because when you call, she's going to think you did something wrong. And so called, said, hey, this is so-and-so, I'm from Elkhorn Valley, Immediately, mom said, "What did Rob do?" And she said, No, he didn't do nothing wrong. He just wants to give his life to Jesus Christ, and we wanted to talk to you about him being baptized." And he was baptized at the end of that week. And, you know, and some people would say, "Well, that's a really cool story," but the neat thing is that's just where the story begins. Because he went on then, and he went to Bible college as a very young Christian, graduated from Bible college, and as his ordination, just 4 or 5 years after he'd become a Christian, the gentleman who was speaking for his ordination service just happened to be Brad, his best friend's dad. And he said, "If you are here today and you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior because of somebody by the name of Rob who shared with you the gospel of Jesus Christ," he said, "please stand up." And 83 people stood up that day because that man had a desire to share it with as many people as he possibly could. And see, that's the importance of missions work, because it can become contagious. And how great that is. He's went on and served God in 3 different continents, and now is back in the United States doing Christian camp work at a camp, doing something, creating spaces where people can come to know Jesus Christ just like he did when he was a young man. And he gave his life to Jesus Christ and was baptized in a creek at Elkhorn Valley Christian Service Camp. And so God is good, and God is doing some great things. And I just want to thank you as a church for your involvement in that and what that looks like. We're going to come to a time of invitation, and there may be somebody here this morning that needs to give their life to Jesus Christ. And if so, there are people here that would love to talk to you about that. For those of us that have maybe already made that decision and have given our life to Christ already, it's just exciting to know that this morning that God is on the throne, and he's doing great things, and he has great plans for your life. And so, as we come together and as we stand to sing this last song, it's a song of invitation. If there's a decision that needs to be made, I pray that we can do that this morning. And I just pray that as a church here, that you can create a culture where you want to make disciples who make disciples who make disciples.
Thanks for listening. If you would like to join us in person, we meet on Sundays at 8:45 and 11 a.m. and on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Have a great week.